He says the parsha of the Egel, so it's kind of depressing. But after the Egel, there's something quite important and empowering that happens. Because Moshe Rabbeinu prays for Klal Yisrael. Im ayin mecheinina misifcha, he says to Hashem, look, if you're not going to forgive the Jewish people, I want out, right? Remember, we discussed that a little bit last week, and Moshe Rabbeinu sort of got a little bit of mitzvas kiyun of his request in that he was erased from Parshas Tetzaveh. Okay, but after the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu davens, he cries out to Hashem, he begs not to destroy the Jewish people. When you look at the psukim and exactly what was the content of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, because you have to realize, you know, we generally look at effective tefillahs in Tanakh to sort of figure out how to daven effectively. It would make sense to do that, no? Right? So what's the model of old tefillahs? The Gemara in Brachos learns out so many halachos of tefillah from a model in Tanakh. Chana, right? The tefillah's Chana. I was just learning it two nights ago with my daughter, whose name is Chana, and she was very excited, but that's where we learned tefillah from, right? We learned tefillah from those who engaged in effective tefillah. It makes a lot of sense that there's what to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, because the moment before Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, Hashem was willing to wipe out 3 million people. Start again. Now, clear the board and start with Moshe Rabbeinu. And after Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, Klal Yisrael gets to exist. Klal Yisrael gets to carry on. The story, we are b'nei, not just Moshe, we are b'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all because of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. It makes a lot of sense that you'd want to analyze this tefillah, see exactly what did he zero in on, what did he focus on. And it seems when you look at Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, there are three essential pleas of Moshe Rabbeinu that lead up to the pasuk that tells us, "Ve'enachim Hashem al ha'ra'a asher diber la'asos la'amo," that Hashem finally changed his mind, so to speak, that Hashem decided he's not going to do this terrible thing and wipe out the Jewish people. Here is a tefillah that really worked, and here are the three components. Component number one, let's see if you could, you know, summarize in a couple of words. Component number one, "Loma yechra apcha ba'amecha asher hotseisa me'aretz Mitzrayim b'koch gadol u'biyad Chazaka." What's he appealing to in the Ribbono Shel Olam? How would you summarize that line? It's the argument. Look at all you've put into these people. It's not why are you getting angry at them, because the answer is very simple. You know why I'm getting angry at them? They worshipped an Egel. Right? No, that wasn't the question. It wasn't like Moshe Rabbeinu was asking a question. Hey, why so angry, God? No, he knows why God is so angry. He's saying, how could you do this to a people that you've already invested so much in? You've taken them this far. You've done so much for them. You've made open miracles for them. How can you undo all of that right now? How can you unravel all of that right now? That once you've made an investment, you should be able to see a return on that investment. Second element of the tefillah. Lama yomru Mitzrayim lemor, bira'a hotziyam laharogosam, baharim lechalosam, me'al p'nei ha'adama. What's that? Terrible Chilul Hashem. It's going to be a Chilul Hashem. Mitzrayim is going to say, look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to destroy them. Mitzrayim is going to say, Hashem, we won. Hashem had to choose sides, and he chose our side. Yeah, we had to suffer a few indignities along the way. We're still here, though. The Jewish people were just taking out. Hashem was mocking them. He was playing with them. He was toying with them. He lured them out into the Midbar with the promise of an Eretz of Az Chalav Udvash, and then he wiped them off the face of the earth. It would be a terrible Chilul Hashem. And then, a third component, Zechor la'Avraham, li'Yitzchak, li'Yisrael avdecha, asher nishpatu lehem bach, v'tedaber aleihem, arbe zarachem k'choch ve'ashamayim. What's that element of the tefillah? Zuchos avos. Meaning you made a promise, and there's these zuchos avos, but meaning zuchos in the sense of they were great tzaddikim, and therefore that should stand to benefit their children, plus there was a direct promise. So remember what you said to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And these are the three points of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. So again, you've already invested so much in them. Number two, the terrible Chilul Hashem that would be involved if Klal Yisrael were to be wiped out right now. And number three, remember where we came from and remember what you promised to the Avos. That's issue number one, is just to be aware of the three elements of the tefillah. And maybe we should discuss, maybe if we have to put it in question form, why did Moshe Rabbeinu Dafka choose those three points for his tefillah? And in what way were those three points effective? Now, issue number two. Moshe managed to, like, stand up and prevent the complete obliteration of Klal Yisrael. And even though he managed to do that, there were losses, right? You're familiar with this? There were a lot of people did die from as a result of the aftermath of the Egel, right? It was not like, oh, all forgiven, everyone lives happily ever after. No, no, there were children who became Yisomim as a result of this, right? We're aware of this. That a lot of people did die. At the end of this tefillah, the Torah tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu burnt the Egel. He then took the burnt-up Egel, ground up the Egel into a dust. He mixed it with water, and he gave it to the Jewish people to drink. I'm not making this up. It's a pasuk. Vayikach, I mean, it's not even like a fancy medrash, right? Vayikach es ha'egel asher asu, vayisrof pa'esh, vayitchan ad asher dak, vayizal pnei amayim, vayashkes pnei Yisrael. It's right there in the Chumash. He ground it up and made like a soda water kind of thing out of it, and gave the Bnei Yisrael to drink. And some people died as a result of that drink, of that magic potion. The Torah also speaks of a magesa that struck the Jewish people. The Torah also tells us of Jews killing other Jews to carry out the punishment that they believed that they deserved. In fact, the Gemara in Yumas of Samach Vav and Beis tells us that all of these things are true, that there were actually three separate ways that people died after the Egel. And the Gemara tells us it all depends on how heavy your involvement was. Right? Which method of death was chosen for you depends on how heavy your involvement was. Says the Gemara, Zibich v'kiter b'sayef. For those who slaughtered to the Egel, who were maktir to the Egel, misas beizdin, they were chayef sayef. Those who slaughtered and burnt incense to the Egel, Eidim Hasra'a, right? Meaning the typical Nisus Beisin. Don't do that. If you do that, you're going to be Chayiv Saif. Apal Pike, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. Knowing the Chayiv, and they went through with it, Chayiv Saif. That was a classic Nisus Beisin. Gifei Fenishek Ba'askara. Those who hugged and kissed the Egel died of askara, some sort of throat disease that strangles a person. That was a misa bidei shamayim. There's no eidim v'hasra'a for that. It's just something that happened for those who behaved in this way, the Gemara says. And then the Gemara says, samach belibo behidroka. Samach belibo. What's samach belibo? They saw the egel, and they said, oh, this is so gishmak. Yeah, I'm not going to do it because it's not the yeshivish thing to do, you know, like it's going to ruin my shidduchim, but it's really gishmak. It's like a guy, you know, passes by like an arena or something, maybe like you're on a family chalamoi trip or something in Hershey Park or something, and like the arena over there has like a concert, you know, with like, I don't know who the popular bands are now, like let's say in my day would be like Guns N' Roses, like, I'm not going to go, like, in my low life, but, like, you know, I'll enjoy it. Well, you know, it's just really schmack. Like, I'm enjoying it. Not so bad, right? So, I'm not going to put that music out in my car, but, like, when I hear the music, if I'm walking through a department store or something, I don't know, department stores don't play that kind of music, but if I hear that music when I'm somewhere else, you know, if I'm in a restaurant or something, I'd be like, you know, I dig it, right? It's good. I'm happy with that. Good? So, samach belibo, lahavyu, not so lahavyu, samach belibo, a person took joy in what was going on, behidroken. He dies of a hidroken, which is a swelling of the stomach that can kill a person. Gemara Avod Zarah, Daf Mem Dalet, says that these people were killed by drinking from the Meisota. That's the swelling of the stomach. That hidroken didn't happen by itself. It came from drinking the burnt up egel, the egel juice, the egel dust. So it's so interesting. There were three tefillos, and Hashem punished those who he punished in three different ways, which may be totally coincidental, but maybe not. And the third element, the comparison to Sota, actually fits quite nicely with the mashal that Rashi gives in describing the second set of luchos. Mashal Ashir Shahalach Medina Siyam. Says Rashi, it's like an usher, a wealthy man goes to Medina Siyam, he goes far away. V'iniach arusaso imashvachos. and he leaves his arusa, the woman that he intends to marry, that he's half married to already, together with some shvachos, who are not known to be the upper echelon of society. Mitoch kilkul ha-shvachos yata la-shem ra. A person tends to earn the reputation of the company that they keep. So, you know, when people find out about you, you know, for shiduchim or whatever, they'll find out who your friends are. And say, oh, and hangs out with that kind of person. So you generally earn the reputation of the company that you keep. So yatzal Hashem na. So this arusa got a terrible reputation because she was hanging out with these shvachos. Amat shushvina v'karak subasa. So her shushvina, her friend, came and tore the ksuba. Amar, im yomara ashi lahorga, omr lo adayin eina ishtecha. If the usher comes back and says that this arusa should be put to death because look, she must be cheating on me because look how everyone's talking about her, don't worry. There's no ksuba to prove that anything ever happened. We'll say she's not your wife. You can't do anything to her. Badaka asher matza shloya kilkul alim ha-shvachos. The usher, though, did some investigation and he found out that she was actually innocent. And nothing happened. It was just her chevra that wasn't good. Nisratzala, omr lo shushvina ksov lo ksuba acheres. So the shushvin said, write another ksuba, shinikra rishona, because the first one got ripped up. Amr lo ha'ashir, so the ashir said to the shushvin, ata karata osa, you're the one that tore up the ksuba. Ata kneva niyar acher. So you buy a new parchment, v'niyachtov lo b'ksav yadi, and I'll then write a new ksuba. Kein ha'ashir zakadosh baruch hu. The ashir in this case is Hashem. Hashvachos, Elu Erev Rav. The Shvachos were the Erev Rav. Why are the Shvachos the Erev Rav? They're the ones who actually misbehaved. Vashushvin Moshe. Moshe. The Shushvin is Moshe. He breaks the Ksuba. He tears the Ksuba. Right? He breaks the Luchos. Arusasa Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Elu Yisrael. The Arusa of Hashem, that's Kal Yisrael. Lekach Nemar Psal Lucha. Hashem says, you want a second set of Luchos? Make him. Psal Lucha. That's the Medrash. One part of the comparison to Sota is just difficult to understand. How do you make me Sota? What are the ingredients? Okay, the water we know, right? And the key ingredient? Shem Hashem. So Hashem, Shenichtav al Kedusha, right? That's how we learn the important halacha of how critical Shalom Bayis is, and it's actually quoted the halacha that Gadol HaShalom, that we could erase the Shem Hashem for the sake of Shalom Bayis. Quoted the halacha of Vadi Azichuva about a case where a balas chuva got married to a nice firm kailul guy, and they were living their life and very happy, and she became pregnant, and she was pregnant with a boy, and this was their firstborn child. The husband was not a kohen or a levi. She was not a bas kohen or bas levi. And therefore, after a natural birth, there was going to be a mitzvah of pidyon haben. Problem was, she never told her husband that she had been previously pregnant, and she had a fairly late-term abortion. So she's not really going to be chayav in pidyon haben. It's not really a petarecha. So now, and if she were to tell her husband, like, he knows she's a balas tshuva, but they sort of like made an agreement, don't ask too many questions. Right? They don't ask any questions. And if she were to tell her husband, he knows she wasn't a basul or whatever, but if she doesn't tell her husband that, he's going to fly off. It's going to be crazy. It's not going to be good. So what do you do? Now, what's the problem? So make a fake pidyon haben. Let's just do a pidyon haben. What do you lose by doing a pidyon haben? Bracha levatala. So when they asked the Shaila, or Silver told me, when they asked the Shaila to Rav Scheinberg said, Gadol Shalom, that you could erase the Shem Hashem. So you could say, Bracha Levatala, for the sake of Shalom Bayis. Right? We learn a halacha from here. So what are we erasing in the Meisota? Rav Avadia has a different Eitzah, just by the way. Rav Avadia writes in the Tshuva, who's way off topic. Rav Avadia writes in the Tshuva that the better Eitzah is to pretend that you found that she's really a bat kohen or something, or a suffix bat kohen or something like that, so that you won't make a bracha on the pidyon. Okay, that's always a better idea, if you can convince him of that. But anyway, the item that's erased is the Shem Hashem. And what was erased in this Meisota that Moshe Rabbeinu made? What was ground up into dust? The egel. It's the exact opposite. mean, the mashal is great. It's wonderful. You know, the Erev Rav are these awful shvachos. The Ashir is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone's good in the whole mashal. But the Mesota part of it, you know, and it makes sense. It's all about a faithful wife and an unfaithful wife, right? It's all about testing how faithful the wife is. So it fits with this whole Sota muscle. The only problem is, why are we erasing the Egel? We should be erasing an actual Shem Hashem. So I was thinking, and we'll see if this works. I'm not sure if this actually works out, but let's see if this works. That the three punishments correspond to Moshe Rabbeinu's three tefillos, and each group proved themselves unworthy of the salvation that was guaranteed by Moshe Rabbeinu, by one of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillos. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu came up with three reasons that Hashem should save the Jewish people, and each of these groups who received a certain type of punishment proved unworthy of one of those tefillos. Those who were Mizabeach and Mekater, those who slaughtered and burnt incense, were killed with Misas Beitin, they clearly continued to openly defy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even after Moshe Rabbeinu returned, after Moshe Rabbeinu came down and said, Mila Hashem Elai. That's the only way there could have been Eden Vasra, right? Otherwise, there wasn't a me and the Eden Vasra. Everyone was sort of just watching. But Eden Vasra was after Moshe Rabbeinu said, hey guys, this is not okay. It was a low to say that. Right? So now there's me Eden Vasra, and these people are still all excited. The Brisker Rav even explains they weren't killed on Yud-Zayin B'Tammuz. But on Yud-Ches, because Beit Din can't kill on the same day that they judge. The tefillah of Moshe, that Hashem should remember those who he took out of Mitzrayim, the koach gadol biyad chazaka, that brings us back to Makas Bechoros, which only protected those people who brought a Karban Pesach and smeared the blood of the Karban Pesach on the doorpost, those who did not worship foreign gods, who took the foreign gods and smeared them on the door, and smeared the blood on the doorpost. Those who mezavech maktir only to the Ribbono Shel Olam, those were saved. But people who mezavech maktir to an egel, it reveals that they never deserved that ge'ula. I mean, that ge'ula was that one thing that we were willing to take the foreign gods and say that this doesn't mean anything to us. That was the whole kunz. That's how we achieved ge'ula. Second category, those who were hugging and kissing the egel. They didn't earn the help of the tefillah of Lama Yomur Mitzrayim. So the avodah of the Egel was not meant to be with hugging and kissing. That was just a show of love, of excitement, a way of energizing themselves. There's nothing that compelled them to do so, meaning even Lishitasa, to fulfill whatever their chiyuv was toward the Egel, or whatever their imagined chiyuv was toward the Egel, there was no need for the hugging and kissing. The Egyptians will have no question about those who openly and brazenly not only did Avodah Zarah, but expressed excitement and love for the Avodah Zarah. They remember, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, Valalu of the Avodah Zarah. But in Mitzrayim, while the Jews worshipped Avodah Zarah, at least they were never excited about it. And then the third category, those who were Samach B'Libam, they didn't earn the right to be answered based on Zuchos Avos. Because what's the notion of Zuchos Avos? Sometimes people, Zuchos Avos is like a ledger, right? That the Avos amassed X number of mitzvahs, and we get to use them. Zuchos Avos is a little bit more than that. The equivalent from Canby Avenue to explain things. It's the Zakut Avos, that it's the purity of the Avos. What do you mean the purity of the Avos? There's a Talmud. Right? And he's going through a rough time, and he's not exactly the most super reliable, or, you know, to be at davening and learning or whatever. But I know his whole family, and his father's a tzaddik, and his mother's a tzaddik, and his grandfather's a tzaddik, and I know what he comes from. I'm likely to believe that there's something there that just needs to be uncovered, that just needs to be polished up a little bit. There's something there. That's Zuchos Avos. Zuchos Avos is that there's a certain inner purity that's there that just hasn't been channeled yet, that hasn't been tapped into yet. The entire idea of Zuchos Avos is that deep down inside we're all really Avdei Hashem. But that cannot be said of people who deep in their hearts, without yet any outward expression, deep in their hearts, were Samach B'Libam, were happy about the Egel. It's not a lesser form of worship. It's even perhaps the worst of all three categories. Because whatever averus we do, because of however misguided we are, at least we always have that one thing. We always have that last tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu to rely on. We have that zechus hafetz, that somewhere deep down, we are b'nei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. If a person has erased that, well, then there's very little hope. Now that last category is such an important category. The Ribbono Shel Olam can get over many of our averus and much of our misplaced energy. But he needs to know that somewhere deep down, we are Ovdei Hashem. That even though right now you don't see it, but the true B'nai Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov are going to shine through one day. The Egel wasn't only made of jewelry and gold. What was Rashi quotes a Medrash? Paraglam Beis, Pasuk Dalet, what does Rashi say? How did they create the Egel? Jewelry and gold, it didn't form an Egel. Shem Hashem. A holy writing that Moshe Rabbeinu had previously used to raise Yosef's bones out of the Nile. Perhaps the idea of the Egel turning into a Mesota is this imagery. Even something as crass and disgusting and vulgar as the Egel, a lot of times that's just what's on the outside. That's the physical levush. But at its core, there's a Shem Hashem in there. And that was true of the luchos that Moshe broke, causing the letters to be pareach ba'avir. And maybe that was even true to a certain extent of the egel. And that was the image that we were supposed to see. That look, the egel was used because even though you are egel people right now, that's not who you really are. You are people who happen to be doing the egel. But who you really are, when you peel away all of that egel from you, you should recognize that kedusha. Those who were Nivdak B'mei Sota didn't even do any discernible action. It was merely Samach B'libel, the excitement of the Egel. The B'dika has to be with something that's devoid of any outward physicality. Saruf, the Nitcham, it's burnt, it's ground up, it's nothing, but the Kalach of the shame is still there. Maybe that's a little bit, we just had Purim Katan a couple of days ago, Shushan Purim Katan yesterday. Chayiv Inishlu V'sumei B'Purim. To get to the point where we're not physically really ourselves, but Yatzah Sod, the innermost part of us comes out, the Neshama HaTahora that yearns for our Kodesh Baruch Hu, as we've pointed out in the past. If something else comes out, then that's a problem, right? Whatever is deep down, whatever is our innermost self, should be Kadosh V'Tohar. Rav Huttner in Pachad Yitzchak and Purim explains that the difference between Purim and Yom HaKippurim is that in Yom Kippur we look at previous actions, and what do we say? Ani acher, eineni oso ish. Right, in Yom Kippur, we say, I'm not that guy, that's not me. On Purim, we look back at Nasa V'Nishma, where it seemed like we were forced into it, and what do we say? No, I am that guy. That was really me. Even though it looks like I had to be forced, Kapalei Marke Gigas and all that, right, Shabbos Pechas, Kapalei, right, even so, that was me, that was my true self. That's what the Avodah of Purim is, and we have two others this year, to find this kernel inside of ourselves, to find that Kedusha, that dedication to Hashem, which truly defines us. We've spoken about in the past how terribly destructive it is for a person to start believing about themselves that they're a nobody, for a person to start believing about themselves that they're hopeless, that they're bad, that they're evil. No, there's a Neshama Torah, we're B'nai Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, no matter what we've done. Remember, Hashem never hates us, right? Hashem's just waiting for us to stop being silly, stop being ridiculous. Find that Kedusha. Let that Kedusha that's there the whole time, let it come out. It's a great responsibility, but it's a very empowering responsibility. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to find, that Neshama Tahora that's deep inside of us. And if we lose that, then we're in big trouble. But that's the Avodah of Purim, to no matter what else we do, to realize that that's who we really are inside, and maybe that's the most effective part of the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu.